Yo.
Hey, I'm Emily Chenevere, CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. Real estate is changing. Disruptors are flipping the script before most of us have even had our morning coffee. So we're taking it to the experts to peel back the layers on what you need to know. Scratch what you think you know about this business and listen up for a new version of an old industry. Ryan Rodenbeck is an indie broker committed to brand. He's grown his brokerage and personal brand appeal by sharing relevant and actionable content on a consistent basis. He's not afraid to share what's real about this business. His social media doesn't gleam with pictures of closing tables all day long because we all know that's not how it works when you're in it for the long haul. Join me in our first podcast featuring one of my very own from right here in Austin, Texas. I started by talking with Ryan about how he does content marketing and why it's working for him.
It's been working out good, and I think where that came from was I was already doing that for Spyglass Realty, right? Mm-hmm. I did it for our Spyglass Instagram. And
Spyglass is your brokerage.
Correct.
Because you're an indie broker.
Yep, indie broker. I realized that I wanted to get more into growing our brand, and there needed to be a figurehead of the brand, which was a little bit hard for me to get over myself. And so,
like, you were nervous about being in that kind of spotlight?
Yeah.
Or and like felt uncomfortable or
ostentatious? You know, kind of cynical about it, right?
Yeah.
And so my idea was that, you know, it started kind of ramping up, but like the content and the reason I put out so much content and the reason I have so much content is because this is the content that I was already doing for my agents anyway.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So if I put something on my Realty Hack Instagram or Realty Hack Facebook and share it to my own personal, 9 times out of 10, it was either something that I have either planned on doing for my agents anyway.
Right.
Or it was inspired by something I'd already done for my agents.
Okay.
So
what does inspire you with you have a huge breadth of content. You talk about all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I always learn about new stuff from you, which is part of the reason I love following you. But what do you like to talk about most that you feel like yields the most traction in the content you're creating?
I like to talk about things that agents can do that are going to set themselves apart. As you know, there's so many agents in Austin, so many agents in the nation, and there's a lot of them that don't have the proper training, and they're not at a place where they can learn. Mm-hmm. So I am a student of real estate, and having had the advantage of being a top producing agent for the last 10 years, I'm also a student of transactional real estate. So if I'm in a situation where I'm using something I learned 5 years ago, like how to write a multiple offer that would win a bid, then I'm going to teach that to my agents. I mean, I literally keep a notebook and write stuff down as a topic.
Yeah.
And it can be from an agent coming to me saying, hey, you know, I use your multiple offer technique. It's not working. So, okay, well, have you used the backup technique?
Right.
And so, well, then I write that down. Well, that's a topic.
You're curating it from the field based on your own experiences, on your agent's experiences.
Yeah. And what I did with my personal brand is that I realized, okay, I've got to get over myself. I'm the figurehead for this company. I'm using this content to get referrals from people outside of the city. I'm using it to attract people that may want, talented people that may want to work with me.
Yeah.
That I need to put this out not just as something that I'm putting on my own private workplace account,
right,
but for the masses.
How has that transition been from growing your own business, trying to create your own transaction volume, then serving your agents, now trying to kind of elevate your brand? Mm-hmm. You've become a regular Inman contributor. Mm-hmm. You're serving in a high level of leadership here locally. Has that transition been difficult to manage?
Absolutely. It's been difficult but enjoyable. And the reason it's been difficult is because I think we're at 16, 17 agents now. We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
At 10 agents, I need to be doing and producing. And I'm still, like, I'm producing a lot less than I was last year.
So you're speaking to that transition that happens when you decide, okay, I'm going to go all in on brokerage.
Yeah.
But from a financial perspective, stability happens at a certain agent count and based on the volume of their transactions.
Absolutely. I need them
to produce. Yeah, so you're riding both strains right now.
Yeah, it's happening very fast where I'm not having to worry about it. But from the standpoint of a lifestyle, I'm doing exactly what I love to do, which is I'm doing marketing. I'm working with my agents on their own personal brand. I'm doing training. Like, I love doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I've fallen out of love with traditional transactions.
But I think that happens, right? Your passions take you in new directions.
Yeah.
What are the top takeaways you could give listeners about the kind of content that they should be looking for in their own lives? Like, how do you turn your life into influence in other people's worlds?
I think you need to be situationally aware of what you're doing that could help someone. Once you start training your brain to recognize that could be a helpful to someone else, and then recording it, right, just writing it down.
Like, this is a moment that somebody else needs to hear about because somebody else is having this problem if I'm having this problem.
Yeah, so when you think about content on social media, you want to think about what can I put out there that someone did not know they needed to know, or what can I put out there where they realize that they need to work with me?
Yeah. So you're either finding the solution for them or identifying a problem that they didn't even know existed, but that is clearly an issue in my life too.
Yeah, and it's more than, you know, the sold photo. I'm not mad at that, but I mean, you could go deeper.
I'm a little mad at it.
I'm a little mad at it too.
I think it's disingenuous. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think if all I saw was you with sold signs.
It's awkward.
What I know of our membership and the way that we serve 13,000 people is, this business is a lot harder than rolling up at the house with a sold sign.
Absolutely. So delve into that.
Yeah,
you know?
So that's one of the things I love about you is that I have seen you be authentic and really genuine about the struggles in this business as much as you celebrate your successes. And it seems like I remember even maybe it was end of last year, beginning of this year, you wrote a post about how it had been a hard year and a hard period of time for you. And I think that I wish that more of your colleagues were saying that and making it acceptable to say, this business is changing, it's evolving, and it's a hard one to be in right now, but I'm still really passionate about it.
Yeah, and I think that comes from wanting to be authentic. I never want to be someone that I'm putting myself out there to be better than I am. I'm just a normal human being that works really freaking hard.
Yeah.
And I think people can relate to the struggles of it. And if you're out there, if everything's rosy all the time, work on the content you're putting out there, but also embrace the struggle as well.
Yeah. I think people feed on energy.
Yeah.
And it seems like if so much of your energy is just focused on everything that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I might perceive that you don't need my business because you're looking just fine from here.
Sure.
But I like seeing somebody who will put their head down and work hard because I know that I do that in my business
Absolutely. In
different ways.
Yeah, and you're attracted to those people because you know that they're going to do a good job for you.
And I think that's true of a lot of consumers. Yeah. I think they want to see your value in a way that is not just rolling up at the closing table. But because so many of your colleagues are having trouble articulating the value of a realtor in the transaction, part of that is that we're leaving glimpses of that experience off the table in our social media, in our marketing. We don't talk about how hard it is to get from contract to close.
I would say you're more defined by your failures than you are than your successes.
Yeah, if you're the realtor that can take me you know, through the multiple offers and make that a success, that's awesome, because not everybody's doing that.
Yeah, and the any good advice that I give out to anyone is because it's because I failed at that before.
Yeah, you know? What have been the most important failures in your career? What do you feel like have been the ones that have marked for you how you move forward now?
I had a property management company that was an amazing failure.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard business.
It was a hard business. We got 500 doors in 3 years and went from being an investment specialist to now I'm basically helping people clean up an apartment because we had to get it done that day. You know? That was a real humbling moment.
Because you lost it or because?
Because I knew I had to get out of it. I knew I had to get out of this. This is not what I wanted to do. I was wanting to get into sales. I kind of got pushed in this property management piece of it. I was overwhelmed, worked for 3 months straight. I mean, through the weekends, a group of 15 employees that I had to go into that office and pretend like everything was okay when actually it was not. That was like my graduate degree to me, you know, because if you can get through something like that, I feel like you can get through so much more.
How did that shape how you approach risk? Sometimes I think when you've had it all and then you lose it all, do you just like crawl under a rock and stop accepting risk?
No way.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I know you well enough to know that you don't do that.
I think you're more careful. You know what you're not going to get into.
Yeah.
But I've also, I mean, I've had moments up to like 4 years ago where I traveled so much. I was working 30 hours a week. I had this referral business that came in and it was a good year. And in that year, it just dried up because I took my foot off the gas.
You got a little cocky.
Definitely got a little cocky.
Yeah.
I thought my referral business was self-sustaining. I wasn't really working on the brokerage.
Yeah.
And I said, I have to get out of this. So literally went into my office, bought some leads, did some expired withdrawal, which was horrible. And like as many calls as it takes to have 2 valid conversations in a day and mm-hmm. 2 appointments that week. Dug myself out of that hole
right.
in about 2 to 3 months and eased up a little bit enough to where I can focus on, okay, now I need to build a brokerage.
So fair to say, though, that you kind of went back to basics. You took that foot off the gas. It dried up. That's yeah. scary. But you go back to what you know
yeah.
when that happens.
And I've always, what I've known about myself is that I can always work myself out of any situation.
Yeah.
You know, if I get pushed into that corner.
Yeah. Grit. Right. I think that's called grit.
Yeah.
What would you tell a new agent in the business about the failure that they should expect? Because this is not easy mm-hmm. always.
I would say if you're a new agent, make sure that you are going to have a work ethic like crazy. Mm-hmm. The stuff that you're going to be working on is not going to be the cool stuff. You're
yeah.
going to be calling leads, going to open houses, expanding your network. Second thing is you need to have some kind of mentor that is going to teach you the ropes. I think the third thing is get out there and network with as many top producing agents as possible. Now, when I say top producer, take that with a grain of salt, right? If you're
right.
if you're just starting, you know, a top producing agent is doing 4 million.
Just people doing business.
People doing business.
You can be with people doing
yeah.
business.
Yeah, and like one of the biggest successes in my career has been in conferences. You can learn more about what your competition is doing in another city than you can in your own.
I think something interesting too about both your tip about mentor and then traveling to conferences, all that business, is that I know you to be somebody that holds on to relationships
oh, yeah.
tightly.
Yeah.
And I know you've told me before that if you invest in them properly, they come back to you.
No doubt about it.
My tip to somebody might be that you don't know the relationship that's going to come back to you as
yep.
big as some of them do. And
yeah.
so you have to just embrace them all
yeah.
to some extent.
I've always been a big fan of the movie and the book, The Godfather.
Yeah.
You know, because Vito Corleone kind of got his way by helping the neighborhood shops or whatever. For what I have done in my relationships, I would get cards and, you know, people I met at the bar at the conference that I
yeah.
really liked. We had
yeah.
a good connection and I would keep in touch with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned into sometimes it's strategic relationships where we're trading, you know, secrets of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest thing it has turned into is that it's turned into referral. I tell my wife this all the time, givers gain, right? And I do stuff for other people without thinking about the result.
I love that.
But I know that the result will be there.
I also think that that's just a good way to live.
Absolutely.
Generally, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, business is business. But at the end of the day, your brand is who you are. And it's your values and how you wear yourself in your business is really how you wear yourself in your life.
Yeah.
So, well, that's an awesome place to stop. Thank you, Ryan, for coming to hang
yeah,
out with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, team. Let's make this a thing. If you like what you heard today, share this episode on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and tag me at M. Chenevere. That's E-M Chenevere. You can also subscribe to Scratch That on SoundCloud and iTunes, and grab show notes at abor.com/scratchthat. Thanks for joining me today. Now let's go get some stuff done out there.